Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
I know you're not a big fan of Baseball Hall of Fame talk, but we have to acknowledge this week that Ken Griffey Jr. became the player who came closest to getting 100% of the votes necessary for election to same. Great player, likable guy, 99.3% beats former record holder Tom Seaver. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm just amazed that we haven't had 15 unanimous choices.
Me, because I feel the same way.
The electorate of the Baseball Hall of Fame continues to be dumb in that regard. And good for Mike Piazza, too. Probably, outside of Johnny Bench, the best offensive catcher in an era in which catchers don't hit the ball very much anymore.
Yeah, and also a guy about whom there had been steroid-related speculation, which makes me wonder whether Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds should begin packing their bags for Cooperstown.
Well, I mean, the difference, of course, is that Piazza has never failed a test. He'd never gotten ensnared in any legal proceedings, and people generally liked him.
They liked him. This is the whole problem with election to the Hall of Fame. There's some writer out there who doesn't like you, and so you'll never
get
100%.
That's right. I mean, oh, no, worse. There's some writer who doesn't think that, well, if Babe Ruth / Ty Cobb / Ted Williams
didn't get
100%. Didn't get 100%. You know, this guy shouldn't either, which is incredibly stupid.
Sometimes there is speculation about which team cap an inductee will want on his plaque. But in Griffey's case, there's another consideration, right?
Yeah, I love this. There's actual debate about whether or not Ken Griffey Jr. will wear whatever hat he wears backwards on his plaque. There are, by the way, different hats. They're not all baseball caps. I saw a plaque from a guy who was one of the earliest members of the Negro Leagues who played most of his career in Cuba. And he's wearing this magnificent Juan Valdez fedora.
I love it.
And, of course, Griffey Jr. was made an issue a great portion of his career, especially in the early part of it, about him wearing his hat backwards. I once quoted Buck Showalter as being critical of Ken Griffey Jr. for doing that. It all blew up over the All-Star game, and I got in the middle of one of these things where people deny what they actually said on tape. But if they allowed Ken Griffey Jr. to go in with his hat backwards, I would say great, although I am happy the Mariners are getting one.
It is NFL wildcard weekend. Among the four teams awaiting their opponent in next week's divisional round are the Denver Broncos. They announced this week that Peyton Manning would in fact be their starting quarterback. Good choice?
I have no idea, because he's so busted up. And Brock Osweiler is right to be disappointed in not being allowed to start this game. I suspect you're going to see Brock Osweiler at some point during the game, because I simply don't think Peyton Manning will stand up to it.
The Cleveland Browns have not had a winning season since 2007, and this week they hired Paul DePodesta as their, quote, chief strategy officer. DePodesta was instrumental in bringing Moneyball to the Oakland Athletics. However, they don't play football. The Browns might not accomplish mediocrity anytime soon, but they're sure going to have a lot of guys who don't strike out much,
This is so Browns. This is so amazing Browns. Why not just bring in the guy who sold the most tires?
Hey, that's
an
idea.
In the Goodyear dealerships around Cleveland. Why not bring in the most successful bus driver in Cleveland? This is so Browns. I love it.
During Monday's game between the Houston Rockets and the Utah Jazz, a fan shone a laser light into the eyes of Rockets guard James Harden, which he condemned as a disrespectful act, and I think it certainly was. All I can say, it's a good thing that never happened to Michael Air Jordan, or the FAA probably would have gotten involved.
Remember when laser beams were cool? When laser beams were the way you shot down alien spacecraft and make things disintegrate?
Well, yeah.
Now laser beams are just used for people to be jackasses in arenas. What a come down. And I still didn't get my jetpack, by the way, or my flying car.
I'll look into it.
Okay.
Unless she retires, Ronda Rousey will probably have to fight again with Holly Holm, who knocked her silly in that MMA bout last November. No surprise, I guess, that before the rematch can occur, Ms. Rousey is taking advantage of her celebrity.
Yeah, she's going to host Saturday Night Live on January 23rd. Good for her. It'll be fun. She's the third boxer, by the way, George Foreman and Marvelous Marvin Hagler being the other two. I don't remember Marvin Hagler hosting Saturday Night Live.
Well, but it kind of fits, because he had quite a splendid movie career following his boxing career in spaghetti westerns
in
Italy.
In Italy, not here.
Oh, it's all right. And acting is acting.
Acting.
The Price is Right host Drew Carey owns the Seattle Sounders, and it was announced this week that Will Ferrell, a.k.a. Ron Burgundy, Ricky Bobby, Jackie Moon, et cetera, will be a co-owner of the MLS expansion LAFC, standing for Los Angeles Football Club, which will begin to play in 2018. Are we seeing a trend here?
Yeah, probably. I mean, if I were a star and had a lot of money, I'd buy into a team. I mean, I don't know that I'd buy into an MLS expansion team, but I'd find somewhere to invest.
Value for money.
I probably could invest in an expansion MLS team now that I think about it.
Finally, Charlie, you have to be very smart to be on Jeopardy. or so I'm told. But on a recent episode, a contestant named Terry probably should have stayed away from Sports for 600, don't you think?
What is I can never go to the state of Alabama again, Bill? The answer that Terry was given was, what school is the Crimson Tide a mascot for? And Terry answered, Auburn.
With confidence, I'm sure.
Which is not a good thing.
Charlie Pierce joins me in Only a Game each week. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.